Hey everybody, it's Meredith Tyler. This week's guest has been on my podcast before. His name is Donato DiOrio. He originally talked to me about the virtue of voicemail and how to do it properly. And we still, by the way, use his process for that purpose today in part of my assessment and actual activation of the voicemail systems that we use for prospecting. Today, though, Donato's going to talk to us about data. He is the founder and principal consultant at a company called Data Z, and it's all about setting up and assessing the strategy for having a predictable pipeline that you can scale, that's consistent, that generates revenue, and a reliable forecast. Welcome to the podcast, Donato.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Great to be back.
Yes. So I know, and you know, putting together a strategy for assessment is a daunting task, one that I wish there was a tool for that. And I'm hearing now that perhaps that is the route you're taking. So my first question to you is, what got you interested in this particular type of strategy for assessment? And what led you to build the systems and frameworks and methods that you currently have at Data Z?
Great. So as you know, in the past, I founded and grew a company called Broadlook, which was acquired by Ringlead. I served as CEO for a while and then later as an advisor. And during the time at Ringlead, I had a lot of engagements with people that were looking to fix their data. And that was a challenging process because, you know, I had this 15, 20 years of experience with data and data mining and analysis and all these things. But, and then you'd have a unique situation of company A is very different from company B. So you'd have a 4 to 5 hour conversation, typically over a period of weeks or months. Mm-hmm. And then it came to the point where let's get your data to look at it. And by the time everybody approved it and we got the data and we looked at it, and I'd come back and I'd understand everything's going on because I'm expert data. And I'd say, well, it seems like you're having this issue. And it's like, oh, actually, no, Donato. The data that you did the analysis on, we only use a third of it. This other stuff is hidden in our CRM. So then you go back again. You say, okay, let me look at that one third of the data that you do use and analyze that. And over time, it doesn't take long to get beat in the head to realize, wow, there are a series of questions that I do ask. I need to encapsulate them. Mm-hmm. That is the hardest part. So luckily, my wife, who is a PhD in psychology, mm-hmm. understands testing, gave me a short course and a bunch of books to read on testing and validation and creating a test that is valid. So what I ended up with is I have a humanistic data assessment tool. Because invariably, you can look at the data and say, I see this, but then the salesperson says one thing, the marketing person says something else. It's not their experience. Mm-hmm. So by crafting, it's actually 90 questions. It takes 10 to 12 minutes, so it's on what's called a Likert scale, right? Yep. A Likert scale is, if you remember it, strongly agree, strongly disagree. So they're only putting in a number, that's it. Mm-hmm. So you may ask a question. Let me throw out a simple question here. Something like we have identified consistent data standards for all our systems that contain account, company, and or contact person data. So that's a question. Ask them, hey, it's a positive stated question. And what if they say, oh no, we're horrible at this? I know they have a problem with their data strategy. I know they have a problem with their best practices. I know that normalization is an issue. So mm-hmm. by looking at the sum total of the 90 questions that touch on different concepts and data, I'm able to get to the heart of the issue very, very fast. So that 5 hour back and forth conversation, ask questions, get the next person on the call, get a sample of data, all that is brought down to a 10 to 12 minute assessment. And then a 15-minute initial call, which we talk about the findings.
Okay. Now, in this assessment, you just mentioned before that you hear one thing from marketing. You may hear something else from product management or sales ops. What, in your test, Do you differentiate by role? Is that an option to say, hey, tell me about your role first? Or is there some demographic?
I can tell. You've been doing this. So yes. So I have a sentiment analysis in the test.
Okay.
So there is a role. There's a role. The role, the questions are random. So when you see the questions, you don't see an order like, this is an admin question. This is another admin question, another admin question, or sales and sales and marketing. So there's a role for each question in terms of who is heavily weighted to answer that correctly.
Okay.
Then there's a sentiment.
Yeah.
Questions are either positive or negatively stated. So what I'll see first off is I do a sentiment analysis. And if I see that all the negative sentiment is like 9, strongly agree, I know there's some serious problems. And the nice thing about this is I'll show them the results and say, here's the areas that you scored a 9 on for the negative, and here's the ones you scored a 1 or you actually chose a 1 on for the positive-related questions. So what that leads to is one of the first things I do is I will say, who's on your team? Oh, you're a salesperson. And what I like to hear is sales and marketing and admin-related person. And if I give them all three the test, and sales answers this question, marketing is delivering fantastic leads. We have all the contacts and company data we need to sell effectively. And sales says, that's a 1 on a scale of 9. Marketing says, that's an 8.
Right.
I stop right there. And I've got them all in a room. They're looking at the screen. I'm saying, guys, we can't go forward until we get alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next step I have them do is, you have to take the question, the test together. You have to take the test together and agree on where you are on that continuum. Because if you don't have alignment, that's like the kiss of death for a consultant. You start engaging with somebody, you get buy-in from sales, marketing, who may have the budget, right, for data and things like that, says, and the administrator, we may need somebody who's trained in Salesforce, trained in Marketo, trained in a local, but he's not. And that we also assess that, what's the skill level of the people that are doing the process. So the first thing that I do is I look to get alignment. And if not, I'm like, okay, you're not ready. You're not ready to move forward. No matter what you do, you got one person thinking one thing, one another, and a third person. Got to get alignment first. After alignment, then we look at the sentence, then we start looking at all the other things.
Okay, very good. So in the course of 10 minutes, you can really assess the health of not only alignment and enable it and everything else, but also the physical aspects of the pipeline that they have in place currently. Is that correct?
Correct. And I focus on the data. I am not doing anything within this test as it relates to sales training or sales effectiveness, because all those things are a dependent variable.
Mm-hmm.
Where the data is that variable that everything is focused on. So I want to focus on that. That's my expertise. Yes, as you know, I can go in and teach them how to sell effectively, how to go a 3x3 approach, voicemail, and all that stuff. But my focus, because there's a lot of people that do that other stuff, I really wanted to focus on the strategy because I can bring the highest value for the time spent.
Oh, definitely. And I always say, for me, top of funnel sales process, the process really amplifies and accentuates where their skills or mindset issues are festering. It doesn't solve them. It points them out in glaringly obvious detail as to where things are falling apart or leaking. But it doesn't fix it. It just gets them to what I call a prioritization list of, okay, we got 36 things wrong. What are we going to fix first and try to organize it with them and impact versus, the actual effort to do that. So I love this. I love this idea. And it's based, I know I am one of those people where it takes 4 to 6 weeks to figure out where we are.
Yes.
On average,
exactly.
It's a huge time waster for a consultant and for the client because we're biting into our activation timeline by doing all this assessment that takes weeks and weeks and weeks up front. And so this is great. So what do they have to provide you when you say data? Where are you grabbing data? What are the sources of the data?
Well, the thing is, I'm not actually getting the data, because what I've found is that you take the data without the story that comes with it, and mm-hmm. you have misinformation. So the actually looking at the data comes later when you can get agreement. And sometimes that's when I might tap out. You know, I've built relationships with all the data vendors. Of course, I've got relationship if they need something that my old company Ringly does, I can send them there. I found one company that was looking, what it all came down to is they were a machine learning application, and they needed massive amounts of data from like big tractors, like the real-time Internet of Thing data. And they're trying to build this whole process on not enough information. So I went out and I found a company that had that data as an exhaust, and I connected them. So they got like a billion records of data of this real-time data, you know, in terms of what tractors are doing. It's like the big Caterpillar-type tractors. So, you know, looking at what the underlying need is, getting that fast, it was clear. They thought it was their sales product. They were identifying the wrong people. And it really came down to is they didn't have their algorithm trained properly, because they didn't have enough data to input to it. So I found it for them. Again, that's an offshoot, but it happened by going through this process. And it's like, you don't have a sales, marketing, or data management problem. You have a data input problem. You have a lack of data.
Got it.
You know, the interesting process is that you mentioned, what do you do first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the categories that each question affects are from the top, data strategy, right? The core strategic choices that you make, right? What are your philosophies? Then best practices. Then documentation, right? If you don't have this stuff documented, it's like real. It's like a goal. If it's not written down, it's a whim. Like, what are the company goals? It's written down, right? Then tools, right? What tools? What data, sales, marketing systems are you bringing in? Because if you try to bring tools in, you don't have your strategy defined. A lot of times, vendors get a bad rap. Somebody goes and buys something because a sales rep wowed them, which happens. There's some great reps out there. It's like, you know, there's one guy out there, I'll buy anything this guy shows me because he's just so good. But do I need it? I don't know. So you get the tools only after you get the strategy down. After the tools, how is your admin? Do you have the right admin people?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trained correctly? Are they certified? So data strategy, best practices, documentation, tools, admin are the first six. And each one is in a hierarchy, with data strategy being the top. So when you said, what order? I know the order after the question, because I see where the biggest problems are. And I can then say, look, if you make these changes in your data strategy, your score, because I do give them a score on the areas, your score will dramatically improve if you fix something at the base of the pyramid. And then you've got all the other things like, more data manipulation things like normalization strategies, deduping, segmentation, fixing your account data, then identifying your total available market, which, you know, if you don't know what your total available market is, you don't know how to sell, right?
Right.
You don't know how to break it up. How do you attack it? Then your contact data, then segmenting titles, and then your email verification. Then, of course, you got compliance. So all these things are in, and I'm rattling them off because it's nothing what I've been doing except this the last 6 months. But it's brought clarity to my own 15 years of cyclic iterative Q&A. It speeds it up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love this idea. I mean, you heard me. I'm stuck on, you know, what data are you pulling? What is the descriptive data that you start with? And you're like, no, it's not. I don't start there. I start with the people, the strategy, the sentiment. And I heard you say sentiment, and it just went in one ear and out the other, but now it's coming back in. So tell me about the sentiment. I mean, how a perception of a marketing person versus reality, how do you prove that when you're showing them the report? When you tell them to get alignment, what does that mean for the marketing person who's convinced that the data is clean? I mean, how do you go about then giving them the instructions of, okay, here's what you need to do next?
I think what happens, the sentiment helps to address the deeper problem, which is the first thing, which is the alignment, right? So the way I do the sentiment and the alignment is each of the questions, I have like a bar chart that I give them. Very simple, very dumb simple to look at. And I break it up by role, which you taught in sales, marketing, admin, and then by the different areas, the data strategy, best practices, documentation, tool. So what you'll see is in each of those categories, you'll see where sales, where marketing, and where admin scored, right? Score is one thing in terms of how they felt they did. Yeah. And the other is how often is, you can actually leave questions blank. If you don't know, you are allowed to leave a question blank. So I can score the test on what's the ultimate you can do if you answer every question, or I can do an adjusted score saying of what you were comfortable answering,
right?
Here's how you did. Because the first time through, I gave somebody a really low score that was doing really well. And I had to go back and refactor. They were like, this area here isn't important to us. We don't have companies. We only have contact data. That's it. Because we're consumer focused.
Right. Okay. B2C.
My mistake. Mm-hmm. Yep. B2C. So back to the drawing board. So that's when I came up with the idea of having an adjusted score. So if they start going, no, I'm like, okay, let's go to the adjusted score. Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
So, testing is a tough business, and having a valid test and designing it correctly, a lot of times you'll see in a test where, like a personality test, right? MPI, they'll ask you the same question in different ways. And what they're actually doing is they're asking with a positive sentiment, they're asking with a negative sentiment, and there's a differentiation between how you answer. You could tell somebody, because if somebody, if you answered a 7 on a positive question on the same topic, then you should answer a 2 because it's balanced on a scale of 9.
Right.
So if you don't, that's how testing works. You can determine how that person is leaning in the test. They tend to put things or weight things negative more than they weight things positive. Again, my clients don't ever have to know any of this stuff, but what the end result is it gets them shaking their head, yes, this is me, when I start going over the results. And that's the simple of what you want to get to after them taking the 10 to 12 minutes.
Right. And then now
calling it a test.
Yeah, the assessment. I understand now where you're going. I love this, in so many ways. I mean, especially this whole idea of planning. Planning makes predictable rather than execution. You mentioned it with tools. I see this all the time. It's form over function, and we have the same issue where they're enamored with the tool. The tool is something that everyone has, so I need to get one as well. But then they find out my business processes are not mapping to the tool. I have to change my business processes to work with the tool. And it's the wrong way to do it. And I see it over and over again. So I'm so happy that you're addressing that. Let's go now to, I'm sure people in the audience are salivating over this, thinking, we're in the fall of 2018. When this is being recorded, we're getting ready to do our planning for 2019. Boy, wouldn't this be smart to go into fourth quarter planning sessions to have a better picture of where we truly are on the spectrum of, are we ready? Do we have what it takes to create a predictable engine? So how do we go about reaching out to you, or what do you got to offer the audience so that we can start this process and learn more about where our disconnects, gaps are?
Well, I made it simple. I had it all developed on the website, so people can go right to my website, which is dataz.co, not .com, .co.
Okay.
And from there's a top link that says strategic data assessment. And under there, there's actually two assessments. One is the strategic data assessment, and you just click on it. It brings you right to a Google form. You fill your stuff in, and that's it. It's that simple. There's no interaction you need to do with me. I'll get notified, and I do a 15-minute free consultation. In terms of, you don't see the results. The results happen on on a call. I'll probably have a streamlined version that is automatic. Right now, there's still a little back-end stuff I have to do, press a couple buttons. But right now, we get together on an Uber conference like this. I show them the assessment. And if some people are like, okay, let's go. What do we do next? Then, of course, it's, we talk about consulting. Sometimes it's like, Donato, this is great. This reaffirms what we're doing is correct, and it gives us a better level. We'll keep your contact information. So it's a great engagement method for me because now I get my business exclusively from the result of this. And I've said no a couple of times because they're like marketing and sales had different answers. And, you know, they both have to approve. I'm like, let's wait, guy. Let's get this down first. I want to win. So far, I've got testimonials from 100% of my clients. So that record I want to keep, make sure that we're right for each other.
Right. And it's so important to start knowing the baseline, and you're giving them that option of really understanding as we move forward here, are we as a team ready to do this, A, and do we have a good fit with you, the consultant, to take us to where we want to go? Boy, this is great, Donato. So what I'll do is I'll put these links inside of your bio on the page for us. And if they want to get a hold of you, let's finish this conversation by giving us an idea of, we know how to get to the website. How else would you like us to reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn. They can connect me that way. And all my contact information is on the website as well. So they can reach out to me. And if you Google me, I'm like the easiest guy on earth to find.
With your name, like, yes, Donato DiOrio, I would think so. Most definitely.
And by the way, there is a second questionnaire on there. It's a data set questionnaire. So let's say somebody has a list that they want to do something with. This is just 10 questions that helps me understand what they're trying to do with a particular set of data. I can give them, like, okay, you need to go to this company, this company, this company. I don't do the data manipulation myself. I point them in the direction of the great vendors that are out there to do that. I focus on how to get them and giving them a set of steps to get to where they want to go.
What about the opposite of that? I work with a lot of clients who are having difficulty finding a list vendor based on their ideal account profile. I'll give you an example. I have a client right now who's Europe-based and Americas, and they're looking for diagnostic centers. That's not a Zoom info type of thing or, this typical lead sources. Could this help them for finding what they need to do, including maybe outsource and build the list manually? Or is this more of, hey, here's your list and go?
No, I mean, part of what you're talking about as far as designing an acquisition strategy, that is something that I do in the consultation process as well. So I've got one I'm doing building right now. They're looking for restaurants. So, they sell a scheduling software and they want to get every single restaurant. So yes, setting up verticalized data sets. That is like my other business that I do. You know, I have a list that I build right now. My primary list is of government. So everybody at the city, county, state, and federal level, all the contact data in that verticalized data set.
Wonderful. So for those of you out there who are needing to find an alternative to the standard list companies, which most of my clients are in that boat, then this is another test that can be taken on Donato's website in order to get a starting point of where these best contacts are, especially as we're working through the design of the ideal prospect personas, the influencers that we can talk to. And I'm getting into the sales process, but list is our lifeblood. And a lot of times the current standard lists that are out there are not working for us, especially if we're in specialized industries. Donato, thank you.
And you know, you always make me better. I was going to say, based on what you're saying there, I think I need to create a third assessment, which is I want to build a list. Because the other two really don't focus on that. So you see that?
Yes.
You just upped my game there. Thank you.
I would definitely send my clients over to you because I do have, it's not boutique per se, but it's just, it's a data set that is not the standard data set. These are not tech companies selling to sales and marketing or IT. They're companies that have very real needs, very real markets, but they're not necessarily the standard scraping that's out there with all these list vendors. So I'm going to hold you to that and build that assessment, Donato.
Okay. You're the guinea pig. You know that, right? You know that now.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Definitely. Again, thank you so much for your time, Donato. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. I'll make sure for everybody these notes are out there. Go take that assessment, you guys. This is the kind of the Achilles heel of putting in a predictable system is to get that planning piece, the assessment piece, and this added overlay of assessment is so important for cultural change as you move strategically to where you want to go, which is increased revenue and a reliable forecast. Thanks again, Donato.
Thank you, Marilyn.